Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker.
Loved and forgiven and back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It just doesn't get any clearer than that now, I'm telling you. We could just say amen and head on home. We've heard it. Heard the truth, heard the story. I sit here sometimes on this front row and I look up at the faces of the ones who will be singing, younger and older. And in particular, one of Jerry Smith will take the microphone and sing a song like that. Because I remember the first day that he was here, and it was about 25 years ago, a single dad raising two twin daughters and a baby boy. And I met him in that aisle. I don't know how we exactly ran into each other. I guess I think it was at the end, the close of the service. Tall guy, tears streaming down his face, and I didn't have any background for what he said. But his words were, I'm home. I'm home. Later I found out struggles and heartaches and heartbreaks and drifts away from the Lord. But on that day, in this building, on that Sunday, drawn into this place heart first, he felt like he was home. That has been the story of lots and lots of folks over the years. Not just looking for a place to do church or to check a religious box. But there's something in your heart that has been missing the Lord, missing Him. Jesus said in this life, it's going to be tough. You're going to have stresses. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have chihuahuas and javelinas that'll hound you down and try to trail you down and consume you. But He said, you be of good cheer. In the world you have tribulation, but you be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And I can put within you the ability to be an overcomer in this world. I can give you a peace and a settledness and a rest that this world can never give you. Coming back to Jesus, in a sense, and we use that to describe lots of different life journeys and life segments, but coming back to Jesus really, really is like you're coming home. Like you're coming home. This may not be for everybody this morning, but I believe it's the word that the Lord would have for us to be looking at this morning, and it's in Psalm number 23, and the corollary passage, if you want to find that too, is John chapter 10. Psalm number 23 and the Gospel of John chapter 10. As we mentioned last week, David is the anointed king, but he's not the king yet. Psalm 23 was more than likely not written when he was a shepherd, when he was a teenager, on the pre-side of Goliath and on the pre-side of Samuel anointing him with oil and the word getting out that he is to be the next king of Israel. He's to take Saul, the current king's place. It wasn't written on the pre-side of that king hating him out of jealousy. It was written more than likely while David was right in the middle of the toughest, darkest, most frightening days of his life. He's remembering, as so often the Lord will do, bring back during a tough time in our lives, sweet memories, pleasant memories, where there was a peace and a calm. But more than likely, David wasn't in those days of peace and calm when he wrote this. He's reflecting upon earlier days that were like that. But right now, he's in the middle of hell on wheels. It's tough and hard and lonely. He doesn't have a roof over his head. He can't even stay with his mom and dad and his brothers because Saul would know where they lived in Bethlehem, and he would surely be found there, taken to prison, and certainly killed. Saul, to eliminate the competition. So where is David? He's the one anointed by the prophet Samuel on God's authority to be known as and recognized as the next king of Israel. But for the time being, he had no roof over his head. He had no steady source of provision for food or water. He lived in caves and hid out in wilderness areas and drank out of creeks and pools of water just like a wild animal would. Chosen, picked out, anointed of God. He would write a whole bunch of scripture that you have in your Bible. But at this time in his life, chaos was the order of the day for him. And yet still, he found a steadiness in his life. He found a series of strong stakes that were driven right down through the center of who he was, that anchored him in the middle of all of the craziness that was going on in his life. He says, as he writes this, "The Lord is my shepherd." Remembering when he was a shepherd, but no longer a shepherd, he's needing a shepherd. Anybody in this house needing a shepherd? For David to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," is assuming that he fully understands that he doesn't have the ability to shepherd himself. He's a sheep who needs a shepherd. He's not a shepherd looking for a colleague. He's a sheep looking for a shepherd. Sometimes that takes us a while to figure that out. Sometimes when we begin, we are so full of ideas and so full of vim and vigor and so full of just get out of my way. I'm taking that mountain. And we hadn't been tested. We hadn't been hit. We hadn't known discouragement. We hadn't been blindsided. We hadn't had anything come out of the invisible behind us and surprise us with failure. And so we can think it's just weak people. It's just dumb people who need a shepherd. But when you live long enough, am I in here by myself? When you live long enough, you realize that you need a shepherd. As we end this service today, I'm going to invite you who are hearing this in your spirit, hearing this in your heart, to join me as we pray. And it's just a simple prayer. It's a 2016 prayer. It's for January, it's for July, it's for next November. But here is the prayer. Jesus, shepherd me. Lord Jesus, shepherd me. Other folks, other voices, other forces, other institutions will seek to become your shepherd. It is the one who owns your heart who will be your true shepherd. So what David is saying is, in effect, Saul doesn't own my heart. Even my earthly father, who was evidently a good and godly man, but a long way away now, doesn't own my heart. I don't even own my own heart. The Lord owns my heart. If you're a human sheep, not just a domesticated sheep, but if you're a human sheep, you're going to follow a shepherd whom you want to follow, who for whatever reason you desire to follow. He will be a shepherd who owns your heart. David goes on to say, describing this shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that's a confusing English translation. It literally reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. I do not have any sustainable, measurable over a long period of time lack, because the Lord is my shepherd." "But David, where do you live?" "Well, I don't have a street address." "David, what kind of vehicle do you drive?" "Well, I don't even have a donkey to climb on the back of." "Well, David, how much do you got in the bank?" "Well, I don't have much net worth right now. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm telling you, I don't lack a thing." Now, why is that? Because when your shepherd is the Lord, and your shepherd owns your heart, it is richness to your spirit and richness to your soul just to know who has chosen you, who you belong to. That there may be a temporary lack of finances, there may be a temporary lack and difficulty physically, and there may be a temporary array of opposition and forces around me, but it is all temporary. Because David has said, "One of these days I'm going to look around and see what's been following me. And I'm going to tell you what's been following me, what's been tracking me, what's been trailing me like a tracking dog. It hasn't been Saul's henchmen. It's been the goodness and the kindness of my shepherd." He knows where we're going. He's standing right here and walking right through this with me, and he is in charge of what comes behind us. Anchors for your soul. John chapter 10, hold your place in Psalm 23 and lay those pages over on your left hand and see if you can turn with your right hand. I know this may be difficult on Sunday morning to do all this moving around, but try it. Turn with your right hand to John chapter 10. And here's where we let the Bible interpret the Bible. Here's who the shepherd is that David was referring to, but didn't know him to the degree that we know him now. Because Jesus had not been born of Mary and had not lived as a man and was not the expression of the invisible God in visible form. John chapter 10, look at verse 11. Jesus is speaking. "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, which he did on the cross of Calvary for our sins, that we may be forgiven and free." Look at verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. the thief who comes to steal the sheep, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Look at verse 2. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, is Jesus speaking, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. A little bit of the background of that is that the localized shepherds at night would bring all of their flocks together in one central location where they could protect them, and some of the shepherds could sleep while some stayed awake and watched their flock, and then they would take turns, they would rotate all together at night in the bedding ground. But when daylight came and they needed to separate the sheep out, the sheep recognized the unique and particular voice of their shepherd. It might be the sound of a shrill cry. It might have been the sound of a whistle. It might have been just the shout of something. But they recognized, out of all the other voices of potential shepherds, they recognized the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus would say, understanding sheep, and David would echo it, the voice of a strange shepherd. They just simply won't follow. Jesus says, my sheep hear with the idea that they recognize my voice. I know who they are. They know who I am, and they follow me. Isn't it true, however, that as human sheep, we can get tempted to listen to the voices of other shepherds, can't we? Shepherds who don't know the future, all they can see is what they, but they seem like they've got some authority. They seem like they know what they're talking about. They sure seem to be having a lot of folks around them. They sure seem to cast a pretty good spell. But there's something about their voice, there's something about that I know is not my shepherd. You know what? There's some of you in this room this morning, maybe, who are back in this house after maybe a while away, and I'm talking, you're back in this house because what you've been after and into and following, you've just realized that they don't know where they're going. They're not, those shepherds are not out for my good, they're out for their own good. There's not protection there, there's destruction there. There's not plenty there, there's poverty of soul there. I gotta find a shepherd. Somewhere back in your life, somewhere at some point in time, maybe as a child, maybe younger, but you bowed your heart and you opened your heart up to Jesus, not religion in general, but Jesus in particular. And in your own words, in your own way, somehow this came out of you. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I give my life to you. I receive you, Jesus. Somewhere you prayed that. Somewhere that came out of you. And you know what? From that moment on, you have had the capacity to hear his voice. And that's why when maybe you've wandered here, stayed there a while, checked this out, there was just something missing. Just something missing. And maybe you're here today realizing that who I really am is a Jesus sheep. I may not be a real big church sheep. I may not be into all the religious stuff, and I'm as disgusted as anybody about all the things that can happen in the name of church. I don't know about church necessarily, but I really do believe that I love Jesus. He's my shepherd, and I need him to shepherd. If that's where you are, where you're sitting this morning, will you just be going off with yes, 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 yes inside of you? Yes, Lord. Shepherd me. Shepherd me. Shepherd me. David will say that he makes me lie down in green pasture. Sometimes when I don't want to lie down, I don't want to quit, I don't see that it makes any sense to stop. But David would know that the sheep, and that was the different thing about the shepherds then. It wasn't like a steer operation today or even a cow-calf operation today where you breed the cows with the bulls and they have the offspring and you just sell those bull calves and have you sell them off and you have no relationship. The shepherds had relationships with the sheep. They knew the old sheep, they knew the young sheep, they knew the ones that were bad about straying, and that's one of the things they used the rod for. They'd even break the leg of a straying sheep so that the only way the sheep could keep up was to keep his nose against the leg of the shepherd. I'm not just making that up. The shepherd knew that in order for you to for that sheep to not be lost and the wolves or the coyotes to get them, the shepherd or the sheep was going to have to not be able to be so mobile. So the shepherd physically limited the mobility of the sheep and forced the sheep to stay close. Because he loved the sheep. It wasn't a hireling. Jesus would say that. The hireling checks out when the wolves come. But the shepherd stands where the sheep would be. Fights for the sheep. Do you realize that you have a shepherd if you'll let him shepherd you? You have a shepherd who will fight for you. Who is no stranger to war, no stranger to conflict. Who's seen the worst and the most that Satan can heave. He faced it all down. And he took what he had to take for you and me, for Satan to have thrown his worst, to spend his volley of rounds, and to be left empty. And Jesus rises from the dead. Why did he rise from the dead? Because your sins and my sins were forgiven. Raised up on account of our justification, Paul would say. Let him fight for you. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The shepherd knows when you're out of breath. That's what that word means. He gives me my breath back. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David is describing seasons in the life of a sheep. Some of these seasons may be ours in 2016, where it can seem like there's a season. The Lord just said, I want you to rest. I don't want you in the city. I want you in the pasture. I don't want you trying to figure out people. I want you to just rest. Hang up the phone, turn the cell phone off, turn off the computer, pull off on a side road and just park there a while. You have permission to get your breath back. You can't be God for everybody or anybody. They're not the voice of God sapping you, drawing life from you, putting standards so high and obligations upon you that you never... That's killing you. You're tired. You've lost your breath. Rest. stop. He makes me. It's that causative tense in the Hebrew. It's as if, it's not that I want to, David. He makes me. Like sometimes the Lord will arrange circumstances. If we don't get it, don't realize we have permission to rest, he can arrange circumstances so that we don't have an 8-to-5 obligation anymore. So that the structure and the system and the setting and the individuals that were sucking the life out of us no longer have that ability. And we can stay in that realm and that attitude if we want to, but or we can receive the rest, the cessation from crazy busyness, much of which can be unnecessary except for the fact that we've got other shepherds that are trying to own our hearts. He says, the Lord owns my heart, and the Lord has the ability to make me lie down and rest. But then he guides me. He'll guide me. I'm not all the time there. I'm being guided. Where am I being guided? I'm being guided into what's right. He guides me in the tracks of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me. Folks, listen, when Jesus shepherds you this year, he will guide you into what's right. You don't have to worry about the shades of gray. You don't have to worry about him being bought and being seducing you into something that will destroy you or hurt you or deplete you. Jesus, shepherd me. Lord, I don't know which way is right. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know exactly what is right in this situation. Jesus, shepherd me. He guides me in the tracks of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm one of his sheep. I bear his name. I bear his brand. I'm one of his. I belong to him. He chose me, wanted me for his name's sake, for the reputation of my shepherd. I walk out what's right. And I'll just say to you, walking out what's right can be protection. You hang out in the places that are just marked by wrong and wrong shepherds giving direction, and you can get hurt. You can be depleted, destroyed, stolen from. He guides me into what's right. Anybody in this house want 2016 for your life to be marked by ways and choices that are right as far as he is concerned? Now, to walk those out can end you up in the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death wasn't a part of lying down in green pastures. It was as we're walking and we're tracking, we're moving. But he says even there, in the valley, the shadow of death, the shadow of calamity, dampening the light. Even there, my shepherd is no stranger to darkness. My shepherd is no stranger to potential calamity or potential death. He doesn't send me through and he meets me on the other side. He walks with me through the valley. Through the valley. I love to hear stories about these SEAL Team 6 snatches where we just miraculously get snatched out of stuff. But probably far more regular are those who have been given the grace of God, the strength of the shepherd, to go through. With every step in the midnight, your personal wooden midnight, with every step through, you've been strengthened by the sense that you're not by yourself. You have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. And he is no stranger to midnights. And he is no stranger to war. He is no stranger to conflict. He is the Prince of Peace who doesn't have to sue for peace and give up rights and give up privileges in the process. He makes peace. He's the peacemaker. He has the ability to disarrange everything that has been arranged against you, that has been war for you. He, the peacemaker, has the power to disarrange and rearrange and set in order those things that had before always shut you down and always pushed you back. He's the way maker. He's the way maker. This year, folks, I wish I could tell you, here's the formula. Pray this prayer, quote these verses, rebuke the devil in this way. Smooth sailing, nothing but net growth for you and your family, and you're just moving on up. I wish I could, and I really don't, I really don't. Wish I could give you a formula, because that's not living. And that does not teach us the merits of our shepherd. Wherever you walk, he is. Whatever you face, he's in the middle of. And he loves his sheep. Would you stand with me, please? I want to invite those of you who have in your heart for that prayer to be a reality this year. Jesus, shepherd me. I want to invite you to make a step, put one foot in front of the other, move as an indication of driving a stake down at the beginning of this year. My choice is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And my desire is Jesus. You would shepherd me. Now you understand that doesn't mean going to form an LLC with you. That he's an equal 50-50. Limited liability corporation. You can vote him out. He can vote. He's got a voice, but nobody wins. Or you keep 52 and he's got 48. Forget that. That's not. You're looking for a colleague. You're not looking for a shepherd. But if you've lived long enough, been down the road long enough to really decide, I don't know everything. I need someone who loves me, who has the resources, who has the authority. I need someone to shepherd me. Shepherd me, Jesus. Would you move this way, come this way, and we'll just gather up here and then we'll pray. You don't have to do a thing. This isn't a sign of spirituality or if you're going to heaven or not. It's just if it resonates in your heart, respond to it. Act on it. Step out on an aisle and join us here. Prayer partners, if you would just come and be a part of this, be available, please. Rick, let's sing that. Can we do that? You'll know these words.
Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah.
Name above all names,
blessed
Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, ransom from heaven.
Jesus Messiah,
Lord of all. Jesus Messiah. Lift your heart. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
In 1903, a man by the name of George Young wrote these words. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Would you just open your palms with me as we pray? Shepherd me, Jesus. Shepherd me, Jesus. You know me, Lord. You know what I'm not. You know what I've done. You know what I've said. You know what I've thought. You know where I've been. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse my heart, Jesus. Shepherd me, Lord Jesus. Shepherd me, Lord Jesus. If this is the first time that you have ever prayed a prayer like that, and you're standing here or you're in this room, the first time that you've ever really opened your heart up like that, Lord Jesus, I need you. Save me. Shepherd me. Come into my heart. If this is the first time that you've ever done, would you just stay for a little bit while the rest will move on back to their places and home. But we'd like to, anybody for the very first time, I just really want to pray with you further. There's no power in becoming a member of a church unless it's through faith in Jesus that we will become a part of the true church. Nothing magic about giving money or being baptized. There's nothing about that that gets us closer to heaven. We do those things as we know the Lord because we want to please Him, but they don't get us there. So that's not what we're talking about. Shepherd me, Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's all. Shepherd me, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.